interviews, and more, including state-by-state reports on the nation's premier youth organization. This is FFA Today on Rural Radio 147.
Well, hello, and welcome to this week's FFA Today. I'm your host, Janet Adkison. And first thing on the menu today, you've likely heard about the unprecedented flooding and ice damage wreaking havoc across Nebraska. And while the full extent of the devastation isn't yet known, the Nebraska FFA Foundation has launched a disaster relief fund where chapters and members can apply for organized financial help and apply for funds to be distributed in early summer when the damage has been more sorted out. If you'd like to help, you can find more information on the fund online at ffa.org/crisis-relief. And of course, our thoughts and prayers are with all the victims of those storms throughout the region. Well, moving on, as you know, state convention season is now in full swing, and over the coming weeks and months ahead, we'll be bringing you updates from all of these big state meetings, starting today, as we kick off the show by heading to Michigan.
There was lots of blue and gold in the land of green and white for the 2019 Michigan FFA State Convention, where star awards were handed out, students competed in competitions, and we caught up with National FFA Officer Adrian Shunk. I'm Janelle Bros, and this is Farm News 5. The Michigan FFA named their 2019 stars. The Star in Agriscience was awarded to Raylan Fry of Springport. Star in Placement Honors went to Jacob Sprague of Durand. And Miriam Cook of Ionia FFA took home the Star in Production Honors. I had the chance to speak with all three of them.
Well, I have three SAEs, and my first SAE that I started was showing pigs at the Calhoun County Fair. I grew up around livestock at my grandparents used to have a cow farm, and then my cousins always showed pigs, so I just grew up with it, and I started that SAE first. And then a year ago, I did a research project for this at Arthur Berkey Science Fair, where I tested the Berks levels in corn. And then that led me to my job at Michigan Ag Research, which is my placement SAE, and I work there throughout the school year. I plan to continue my work at Michigan Ag Research while I go to Jackson College to study agricultural technologies, and then I'll see where that leads me.
Well, I have many SAEs. My first one would be working at our family cash crop farm, which is in Durand, Michigan. Second would be is working at Davenport Farms, which is a dairy farm. And then also, when I was 16, I had the opportunity to go out to Pinedale, Wyoming, and work on a cattle ranch and as well as a post yard. So I worked out there as well. I plan on attending Michigan State, and then I plan on majoring in ag business and then minor in crop and soil science. And then with that degree, I am hoping to do whatever it takes. That way I can eventually start my own like cow-calf operation.
So I have a lot of different SAEs. My SAE originates, I live on a 300 cow rotational grazing dairy farm. So right there is where I start. I've got about 30 head on that farm, anywhere from young stock to milking cows. And then on top of that, I work on the farm. It's an unpaid placement with my parents. And then on top of that, I've built on top of it. So I have two horses that I currently own. I have started a little Nigerian dwarf goat herd. That's a little bit of my pride and joy there. I got a little 5 head at the current moment, about ready to kid soon here. And then I also show dairy steers and I sell them at my local 4-H fair. My experience personally, I haven't been in FFA long. I've only been in it for 2 years and I've only known about it for 4 total. I'm the first one in my family to be in it. So a lot of it came from talking to other FFA members. And I learned that if you have an interest within FFA and you want to go farther, just reach out of your comfort zone and ask someone for help, and they are more than willing to help you. I had so many FFA members and so many past FFA members come in and help me and talk to me and give me tips and advice and everything, and I learned that you just need to step out and ask them, and they're more than willing to give back to you.
Over 2,000 blue and gold jackets descended on the campus of Michigan State University for the 2019 Michigan FFA State Convention. The convention gives students opportunities to participate in various competitions. New Lothrop FFA came to Michigan State University for the convention to compete in the Ag Issues competition, where they discuss the pros and cons of solar farms.
Well, you may think that this is true. I strongly disagree with your stance on this issue. Solar farms are very expensive to install, and they're also taking away from our valuable farmland. On average, 1 megawatt of solar power costs $1 million to install. This is a huge expense that I never see solar farm companies getting back out of it.
You're right, that is expensive. But the installment cost is not something I have to pay as a farmer. That's something handled by Michaela's company. Not to mention that I make 1,200 25-year contract.
Well, I learned a lot about solar farms. I learned to talk in front of people. I know that's like a basic answer, but it's definitely taught me to be more personable and be able to communicate with anybody.
Adrian Shunk, past Michigan FFA state president and current national FFA officer serving as the Eastern Region Vice President, came back home to Michigan for the convention to meet with students and provide a unique workshop.
So Abby, my friend here, just spoke up and decided to share an answer. And in this environment, what we're going to do is we're going to make sure to recognize folks who step out of their comfort zone to take a leadership role like Abby just did. While I'm here presenting a workshop here in Ag Hall, I get to talk to students about a message that I call Already Enough and Always More. So we talk about the dichotomy of how do we believe and have confidence that we're already enough while still striving to grow and using that confidence every day of our lives to improve as leaders. I've been on the road quite a bit this year. You know, I've been to Tennessee, to Pennsylvania, Maryland, West Virginia, Illinois, pretty much a whole lot of states so far. And I've learned a ton about not only leadership in FFA, but also about the people in this organization. And I've really learned the power of relationships and how our FFA members are building relationships every day to strengthen their own chapters in the agriculture industry. And it's been really a phenomenal journey. Ready? 1, 2, 3.
Already enough, always more.
With Farm News 5, I'm Janelle Bros. Have a great week of farming.
Well, thanks to Farm News 5 there in the Great Lakes State for that story. And if you're interested in getting your hands on a brand new tractor, the Idaho Farm Bureau explains how.
Agricultural education with FFA is one of the most successful programs in our public education system.
Now in its ninth year, the FFA tractor raffle is underway and raising scholarship money for college-bound students across Idaho. FFA State President Sadie Longhurst.
We are in our ninth year with the tractor raffle scholarship, and we have raised in the past 8 years over $400,000 with in-kind contribution, sponsorship sales, as well as ticket sales. And we have given away over $129,000 in scholarships.
Longhurst says FFA, or Future Farmers of America members, are much more than kids from the farm.
One of the quotes I really love is that we're just more than cows, plows, and sows. We're leaders, speakers, and job seekers. We're so much more than just the typical farm kid coming out and wanting to plow a field. We're wanting to succeed in our future as well as grow our career and look for ways that we can improve ourselves and our communities.
Beginning in 1928, the national organization now boasts 670,000 members in grades 7 through 12. Just over 5,000 live in Idaho. Known for their blue jackets, it's a proud bunch of young men and women with high visibility in Idaho agriculture.
Every time I go to an event, I learn something new about Idaho agriculture and the broadness it has throughout our state. It's so inspiring to me to see so many people come together in one industry, and that's what's been so exciting, and they all want to put their stock and support into the future of their industry.
Raffle tickets for this year's tractor are on sale now, with the winner to be announced on April 5th. Visit IdahoFFAFoundation.org to secure your possible winning ticket. For the Voice of Idaho Agriculture, I'm Steve Ritter.
And again, remember to enter now, as the winner will be announced this coming Friday. Well, stay tuned. We'll learn about a very special FFA alumni whose story has just been brought to the big screen. That's coming up next on FFA Today. Well, welcome back to the show. And if you're a regular listener of rural radio, you've no doubt heard the inspiring story of Amber Lee Snyder, a barrel racer, American rodeo champion, and FFA alumni whose perseverance following a horrific car crash not only got her back in the saddle, but took her to all new heights. Hear Amber Lee's story now in her own words, as well as in conversation with rural radio's Steve Kenyon.
I was on my way to Denver for the stock show. As I was going through Sinclair, Wyoming, I was involved in a rollover car accident, was ejected, and broke my back, leaving me paralyzed from the waist down. Rodeo is just, it's my passion. I tell people it's not what I do, it's a part of who I am. Even though going through an accident like this, I mean, getting back to riding was just something that I was going to do. It wasn't if I was going to do it, it was when. And so for me, that's what it's been like. You know, to get on that horse now even means more, because it's the place where I get to be like everyone else. I get to leave my wheelchair, the trailer, and my horse becomes my legs.
Here is Amberlee Snyder sitting next to us. Amberlee, this has been kind of a roller coaster ride for you a little bit with all of this, hasn't it?
Yeah, there's definitely been some ups and downs and some hard times and some amazing times. But to be here now is something that I would have never even dreamed about doing at this point in my life. And yet, here I am.
I'm curious, what goes through your mind today after all that you have accomplished since that horrible night?
You know, when I sat there on the side of the road waiting for somebody to come and find me after my accident, I didn't know what my life held. I didn't know how it was going to be from there. I didn't know the challenges I would face or the opportunities that I would have. But I wouldn't take any of that away, because all of the things that I've been able to experience since that day have completely changed my life, whether it's for the great or for the amazing part. I mean, there's nothing that I could say that I regret this happened. So for me, I mean, it's been a great ride even since then.
You come from a competitive family, and I'm curious how much that has to do with your can-do attitude. Your dad, as you mentioned, was a Major League Baseball player, almost 10 years, a left fielder for several different franchises. Talk about him and his influence.
So my dad did play in the major leagues for 8.5 years, and that influence has played a role in how much I work hard and how competitive I can be. I mean, the perseverance and dedication you have to have in any professional sport plays a role. So growing up, my dad always told us, you know, you go out and you do your best and you should probably win. So for me, that's how it's been from the beginning. And my mom has been the biggest supporter throughout that as well.
When it came time for you to get back on a horse, it was about 4 months from the accident until the time you got back on. What was that like the very first time?
The very first time that I got on actually was one of the hardest times of my life. Because that very first time that I sat on my horse's back, I realized that this situation was different and that no part of my life would be the same. So from there, I really had to decide that I was going to move forward no matter what.
You were involved very heavily in FFA, as a matter of fact, up until and I think after your accident, right?
Yes. I was serving as Utah State FFA president in 2009, and I got in my rec in January of 2010, so I completed my year in a wheelchair.
FFA is pretty important to the folks at RFD-TV, and you had a chance to meet the founder of RFD-TV, Patrick Gotch, and told him that you were actually on, I think, an RFD-TV float in a parade once upon a time.
I was. The Rose Bowl parade, the year of my accident, actually, I spent in California at the Rose Bowl parade, and it was kind of a crazy thing because I rode through that parade on the float versus walking. And so it's kind of an interesting symbolism when I look back on it now that I spent even that moment right there sitting down, which it was great either way.
Now talk to me about what keeps you in the saddle, Amberlee. A lot of riding is legs and those kinds of things. You are actually belted in. Talk to me about how that all works.
So I have a seatbelt on my saddle. We cut out of a junkyard car, actually, and strapped it to my saddle. And then I have Velcro straps around my legs. You'll watch my legs still kind of look like they're kicking, but my horse just knows to ignore them. He just pays attention to my voice and my hands. That's how I communicate with him now.
Real quick, what would you say to somebody who's a little bit down on their luck? Because you've been a little bit down on your luck and you haven't let it stop you at all.
I would tell them that, you know what, every day is not easy. And don't expect every day to be easy, but keep going. What is most important is that every single day you get up and get out of bed. If you do that, you're already accomplishing something. And you should really look at those small accomplishments as something that's amazing, because at least you're keep going. And every single person should just know that no matter what obstacle they face, they can get up and keep going.
Amberlee Snyder.
And now Amberlee's amazing story has been made into a film, just released earlier this month on Netflix. Dan Rescone with KUTV in Salt Lake City, Utah, has the story.
Amberlee Snyder has an amazing story to tell. In fact, her story is so fascinating, it caught the eyes of movie producers who are turning it into a film for millions to see.
Yeah, we have a movie coming out about my life.
It all started at a very young age, a little girl who was born to barrel race. By 2009, she was a world champion.
Oh, I grabbed my wheel to correct my truck.
But on January 10, 2010,
my truck started rolling at 75 miles an hour.
A horrific crash would forever change your life.
And hit a fence post on the side of the road.
Told her riding days were over.
What am I supposed to do with that kind of news?
But this young gal got back on the horse. Amberlee would have it no other way.
Oh, absolutely.
Suddenly, she has legs again.
Hey, this is my happiness right here.
Now she's traveling the country, winning championships and cash prizes. And this past summer, she got to be on set for her own Netflix original movie, Walk, Ride, Rodeo.
The very first day of therapy, I was asked, what are your goals? And I told them, easy, walk, ride, rodeo.
Amberlee not only helped co-produce and consult in the movie, she was also the stunt double. Everything after the accident is her writing.
That was one of my agreements, was when they came to me and said that they wanted to make a movie, I told them that I get to write for myself.
When Amberlee is not writing, she's motivating audiences, giving them a simple yet powerful message she hopes her movie will also leave.
We don't always get to pick what happens to us, but we get to choose what comes after that.
And again, Amberlee's film Walk, Ride, Rodeo is available on Netflix now. Well, don't go anywhere. We're off to the Badger State coming up on Rural Radio 147. Thanks for keeping it here on Rural Radio 147. And finally today, we head to Wisconsin, where Marshfield Community Television's Chapter Chat sits down with members of Marshfield FFA to find out how the chapter is beneficial for students, but also to the city.
Today we start off with the Marshfield FFA. We have Tim Hagg here along with three of the members of the Marshfield FFA, and so we'll lead off with Lauren Cook.
Thank you.
Tell us a bit about your SAE and what you're involved with.
I am involved with showing dairy at our local fair, and I usually show too.
And next up we've got Raina Simone.
Yes. I am involved with dairy as well, and I also show at the county level fair, and I also go to the state fairs.
Here you are. All right, Jared Abig with us also, and Jared is a rather non-traditional FFA member, the new breed of FFA, really.
I'm more into the environmental side of things. I'm into the wildlife and forestry, particularly. I've mostly participated in competitions and such things relating to those, and one of my biggest regrets, actually, since I'm a senior this year, is not joining FFA sooner, because really it was Mr. Hegg that kind of got me interested in the first place.
Getting back to Lauren, talk a bit about some of the things the chapter does.
One of the things that we do is adopt a highway. We adopted Highway 10, and we get a group of students, and we pick up trash in the ditches and along the highway, and it's a really good way to keep the environment clean. And we also do petting zoos. We do 3 to 5 a year, mainly in the summer. We do it at Hewitt, and then we do one at the Dairy Breakfast. That's our biggest. And the kids really love those.
Which is kind of important, because even though we're in a relatively rural community, most of these children and students are not exposed to animals on a daily basis.
You know, the kids don't know, not our kids, but the kids that come to the petting zoo, they don't know how to handle an animal, how to approach them, where to come from, just things like that that a farm kid would know and not have any concerns with.
What kind of questions do you run into in the dairy barns, in the barns at State Fair?
Well, we get all kinds of questions like, where does the milk go once it comes from the cow? Or probably the weirdest question I've ever gotten was, where do the cows go when they're sick or dying? And I'd have to explain to them that it doesn't always go to human consumption. It would go to either a processing plant for like dog food or other places that take that kind of stuff. And they understood that, and they were really intrigued by what I was telling them.
This all has to do really with leadership. Talk a bit about some of the leadership activities that FFA presents, and that specifically the Marshfield chapter presents.
Well, FFA is actually really about leadership and building your skills. So, of course, we have to have something in there to tie in. And a lot of those is like to build up your personality and really outshine out of your boundaries on what you can do. And in order to do that, we have to have many activities available to the members.
Tim, what happens? I mean, you think about a person like Lauren, and you know, I'm sure that it has to be great to watch those members come up through the ranks.
That's the best. I mean, it really is. Like Jared was mentioning before, being in a wildlife management class, first time he was in an ag class at that point, and then seeing him develop and now get into some of the competitions that he has, and seeing Lauren in middle school starting out as a quiet seventh grader, and now doing radio programs with her, and it's the coolest thing.
Very good. Tim, talk a bit about some of the other things that the chapter is involved with on a regular basis.
Well, one of the big things is I think about stuff the kids have talked about. One of them that we haven't was Food for America. Our Food for America program is really, really quite strong. We educate, well, it's around 500 kids that we end up running through that program every year. And mostly fourth graders, but some, I think it's third and fourth graders from Pittsville and Auburndale that we get to come in addition to Marshfield School District. So we got the entire school district of Marshfield's fourth graders, and then we also get Pittsville and Auburndale coming in for that as well. And we teach them about not just the farm, but we it's a day out on the farm. You know, show them basically how a farm works, you know, and go through everything, nuts and bolts, all the way from beginning to end on, you know, how their food is made, basically. Mm. And then also we've added some other pieces to that puzzle over the years. Being that the ag program has changed and the kind of kids that we're working with have changed, we've added in parts, an environmental station that we have. We've got a soil station, a station on duck hunting we did last year, forestry, and let's see, we have another one over there too. Trapping that we did. And so we have these different stations, not just all ag stuff, but then we've added a llama one because we got a lot of people around Marshfield that are into llamas. And so we added that over the last couple of years.
Jared, I guess you had commented that you wish you would have joined earlier. So if you are given the opportunity now to talk to a seventh grader, tell them on the program.
FFA is more than just farming, as far as I'm concerned. It's everything to do with agriculture and environmental stuff as well. It's got everything you want. It's got good people, good friends. It's just a great organization, great thing to be a part of in high school. Get in early, something I would say. And just get involved. Do a lot of, like Lauren was saying, there's so many opportunities of things you can do, not only meetings, but volunteering as well. It's just a great organization.
Raina?
I would tell them about the different opportunities, like the speaking contest. You can learn how to speak better, and there's another contest in the speaking called job interviews. You meet so many new people, and it's really just a really good tight-knit club that you can meet people and learn a lot about agriculture and other things besides agriculture and the world around us, really.
And get some new friends out of the year as well. And Lauren, how about you?
FFA was mainly where I started making a lot of my friends, because middle school is always that awkward transitional year where you don't really know what you're going to be, who you're going to be. And FFA can really help you stand out with that if you don't know what you're going to do. You might find the career that you want. I know I found out that I want to be a vet or vet tech, doesn't matter, because FFA does help you through it, and it helps you become who you want to be.
Tim, I know you wanted to touch on also a great resource that the FFA enjoys, and that's the FFA alumni.
Yeah. Our FFA alumni here in Marshfield has been just phenomenal. They fundraise for us like crazy, and they donate around $13,000 a year back to our ag program. You know, they sponsor trips that we go on. They help with judging contests. They help train teams. You know, they're our resource to help us get things done in our program. And so it's really cool because we've got a strong alumni here. They, you know, we ask them, you know, when we need something for our program, we ask, and they rarely say no. I mean, they figure out a way to get it done.
Very well. Well, thanks for being here, and it was a pleasure, and best of luck on your year, and continued success with the Marshfield FFA.
Well, that'll do it for this week's show, but if you have something that you'd like to share on the program or an idea for something that you'd like to hear more about, just let us know. Send us an email to FFAToday@FFA.org or give us a call at 855-RR on 147. That's 855-776-6147. Until next week, I'm Janet Atkinson with FFA Today on Rural Radio 147, Sirius XM.